Welcome to the My Virtual HR Radio Show with your host, Robert Redden. My Virtual HR, affordable outsourced HR support for smaller businesses in England and Wales.
Hello. In today's show, I'll be talking about preparing for an employee on maternity leave to return to work. When should you start your preparations, and what are the key actions you need to take, and when? Before talking about them, I would like to say a few words about My Virtual HR. My Virtual HR, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk, is a membership website providing affordable, outsourced HR support for smaller businesses. Members have access to over 200 pages of premium content. There are answers to frequently asked HR questions, a breaking news section, and much more. New content is continuously being added. Membership is from less than 24 pence a day. Members can also buy employment contracts, employee handbooks, template letters, HR forms, and HR consultancy, all at affordable prices. So how should you prepare for an employee on maternity leave to return to work? When should you start your preparations? What are the key actions you need to take, and when? Let's start by giving the employee a name. I'll call her Caroline. Caroline has chosen to start her maternity leave at the earliest possible date before the expected week of childbirth, and she has indicated that she intends to take the full 52 weeks maternity leave herself. So when should you start planning for her return to work? Perhaps, counterintuitively, the best time to start planning for Caroline's return to work is before she starts her maternity leave. Now is the time to address the question of Caroline's annual leave. Has she any accrued annual leave that she has not taken? Does she or do you want it to be taken before her maternity leave starts? Or are you happy for it to be carried over? She will continue to accrue annual leave while she's on maternity leave. Do you want her to take this leave at the end of her maternity leave, or allow it to be taken at a later date? If so, by when? It will be helpful if you discuss these points with Caroline well before she starts her maternity leave. That way, you will have a good idea of when she will effectively start her maternity leave, how long it will last, and when you can expect her to return to work. Knowing this will help you plan maternity cover arrangements, the reallocation of her work, and recruit someone to do Caroline's job while she is away. Caroline has now started her maternity leave, or combination of annual leave and maternity leave. What's next? In fact, there is quite a bit for you to think about and arrange to take place before Caroline returns from maternity leave. She might be out of sight, but she should not be out of mind. Make sure you inform her of any job vacancies that arise, even if you think they may not be suitable for her, or that she may not be interested in them. You should also keep in reasonable contact with her, such as by sending her copies of the firm's newsletter, and maybe a birthday card if your company has that tradition. You could even write to her or send an email to arrange a telephone call, if she is willing, to let her know about developments that are taking place during her absence. While Caroline is on maternity leave, you can arrange up to 10 keeping in touch days without terminating her maternity leave. You will need to agree with her what work she will do and how much she will be paid for each of these days. You can use keeping in touch days to ensure she does not miss out on any training relevant to her job and to let her know that she is still a part of the team. Later in her maternity leave, keeping in touch days can provide a useful opportunity to discuss her plans about returning to work and when that might be, which might be earlier than previously indicated, or she may want to delay taking her accrued annual leave. The next key thing you'll need to do is conduct an individual workplace risk assessment. Yes, I know you did this when Caroline informed you she was pregnant, but you need to do another one to ensure that potential risks are avoided or minimised. This workplace risk assessment must specifically consider any risks to the health and safety of a new mother or that of her baby from your processes, working conditions, or physical, biological, or chemical agents. Do bear in mind that if you fail to conduct an individual risk assessment for an employee who is a new mother and there are identifiable risks where protective or preventative measures should have been taken, you could face a claim for automatic discrimination because of pregnancy and maternity for failing to safeguard the employee's health and safety. If any risks are identified to the health and safety of a new mother or her baby if she is breastfeeding, you must deal with those risks. For example, by offering suitable alternative daytime work where a new mother works nights and provides a medical certificate from her GP or midwife that states working nights may affect her health. If that is not possible, you must alter Caroline's working conditions or hours of work or offer her suitable alternative work. Otherwise, you must suspend her on full pay until such time that neither she nor her baby are at risk. Bear in mind that if you reduce Caroline's hours of work to reduce or remove an identified risk, you cannot reduce her pay accordingly.
You're listening to the My Virtual HR Radio Show.
The next item on your to-do list for Caroline's return to work from maternity leave might not need to be done at all. That's because it's for Caroline to initiate this item by requesting a flexible working pattern. She can do this before she returns to work following her maternity leave, or she can make the request after she has returned to work. All requests for reduced working hours, flexi time, annualised hours, job sharing, part-time work, self-rostering, or permission to work from home fall within the flexible working rules. Any such request must be made in writing, setting out the new working arrangement that is being requested. Caroline must give her assessment of how she thinks the proposed changes to her working arrangements will affect the company. She must also say when she wants the new arrangements to begin, and she must also sign the request. Caroline is entitled to make such a request, and you are obliged to give it reasonable consideration. Although there is no automatic right to change her working arrangements, such as moving from full-time working to part-time working, you may only refuse her request on one or more of the following 8 grounds, which are the burden of additional costs, an inability to reorganise work amongst existing staff, an inability to recruit additional staff, a detrimental impact on quality, a detrimental impact on performance, a detrimental effect on ability to meet customer demand, insufficient work for the periods the employee proposes to work, or a planned structural change to the business. You must be able to justify your reason for refusal objectively. ACAS has produced a code of practice on handling in a reasonable manner requests to work flexibly. A copy of the code of practice can be downloaded from the downloads page in the members area of our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. Be aware and ensure that Caroline understands that any change to her working arrangements under the right to request flexible working legislation is a permanent change, unless otherwise agreed, and that she cannot make another application for 12 months. Now that you know when Caroline is returning to work after taking her full maternity leave, that is the combination of statutory maternity leave of either 2 or 4 weeks, and ordinary maternity leave making up 26 weeks, and 26 weeks additional maternity leave, and what her working arrangements are likely to be, it is time to plan reallocating her work back to her and restoring her to the same job she held before her maternity leave began. The right to return to her old job is subject to the requirement upon you if there are risks to Caroline as a new mother or her baby while she's breastfeeding, to alter her working conditions or hours, or provide her with suitable alternative work. If that is not feasible, she should be suspended on full pay. If, however, it is not possible for Caroline to return to her old job, she must be offered a suitable and appropriate alternative job with employment terms no less favourable than the job she held before her maternity leave. Note, however, that if Caroline took an isolated part of her maternity leave, such as ordinary maternity leave, she must be allowed to return to her old job. The next item for your consideration is transitioning Caroline back into work. Will you, for example, need to continue the employment of the maternity leave cover for a period after Caroline's return to work to ensure a smooth handover and to provide continuity? Do you need to provide Caroline with any training that she missed while she was on maternity leave? Did your workplace risk assessment reveal any areas of risk that require a temporary modification to Caroline's working arrangements? How are you going to deal with that? You should note that it may constitute indirect sex discrimination to impose on a nursing mother a provision, criterion, or practice that has an adverse impact on women and puts her at a disadvantage and which you cannot show to be a proportionate means of achieving a legitimate aim. For example, a requirement to return to a full range of duties immediately after maternity leave, where this includes travel involving overnight stays, would prevent the nursing mother from breastfeeding her child. The last item on the list of actions you need to take in preparation for Caroline's return from maternity leave may need little advanced preparation if you have been in this situation before. However, if it is the first time that you have had an employee return from maternity leave, or if you have not previously done so, you must provide suitable facilities for a breastfeeding mother to rest, including being able to lie down. These facilities must be suitably located, for example, near to toilets, but toilets are not classed as suitable facilities for this purpose. Although you are not required to make any other special arrangements, it would be good practice for you to allow breastfeeding employees access to a private room for this purpose, and to specify a refrigerator where milk can be stored securely. Reorganization of the workspace to create suitable facilities may be required if there is no suitable room available. If they do not already exist, you should start planning the provision of these suitable facilities as soon as the employee starts her maternity leave. Why so early? Well, that's so you're not caught out if, for any reason, she decides to return to work early. Breastfeeding mothers are not entitled to additional time off beyond agreed lunch or other breaks, and a 20-minute rest period when continuously working for 6 hours or more. However, an employee's unreasonable refusal to provide facilities for a mother to breastfeed her baby or to express milk may be sex discrimination, as this is an issue that only affects women. Breastfeeding at work will really be an issue only where there is a workplace nursery, as a woman's baby will not otherwise normally be at work. If there is a workplace nursery, you could consider allowing employees to breastfeed at their baby's normal feeding times. Even where there is no workplace nursery, it is possible that a nursing mother may still wish to express milk during the working day, in which case, and in light of the above requirements, it follows that you should allow adequate breaks for the purpose of expressing milk. It will be prudent to consult with Caroline on her return from maternity leave about any requirement she has to express milk and agree the length and frequency of any breaks for this purpose, as there is no specific guidance on how long or frequent the breaks should be. Your obligation to provide suitable facilities for breastfeeding mothers to rest continues as long as the employee chooses to breastfeed. Similarly, you have an ongoing duty to assess and address risks to breastfeeding mothers and their infants, where they may be affected by hazards that arise from processes, working conditions, or physical, biological, or chemical agents. This duty applies for as long as the mother chooses to breastfeed. There you have the key actions to take in preparation for an employee returning to work after maternity leave and when to take them. Consultation, careful forward planning, and timely preparation will ensure a smooth return to work following the employee's maternity leave. The notes of today's show are available on our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. I look forward to seeing you in the next show, when I'll be looking at how to conduct a disciplinary investigation. I'm Robert Reddin from My Virtual HR. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to the My Virtual HR radio show. Today's show was written and presented by Robert Reddin. Music was by Kevin MacLeod. My Virtual HR, affordable outsourced HR support. For more information, visit our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk.